Our next speaker would be Alireza Moyeri. He will be speaking about absolute risk of fracture for decision making in osteoporotic patients, the EPIC Norfolk population cohort study.
Thank you. First of all, please excuse me for my voice. I'm having the worst ever common cold in the past 10 years and in acute phase.
Welcome to the US.
Thank you. I will talk about use of absolute risk of fracture in comparison to relative risks based on EPIC Norfolk population study. I have no relationships to disclose. We have heard about relative risk or hazard ratios, odds ratios, other stuff too much in epidemiological studies. And we know that, for instance, relative risk of age for fracture or relative risk of bone mineral density for fracture, they are really point of interest for etiological or comparative purposes. But when it comes to clinics, when the doctor wants to tell something to the patient, we need to have some assessment of the absolute risk of any sort of disease. And we should just tell the inform the patients of their future absolute risk of any sort of outcome. So in this study, we aim to develop a method for calculation of absolute fracture risk using prospective study design. EPIC Norfolk is part of a big EPIC study, European Prospective Investigation into Cancer. This is the biggest study ever undertaken in the world, I can say. It involves more than 500,000 people. It's a prospective cohort study in 10 European countries. It's still ongoing in many centers. And in EPIC Norfolk, in UK, two centers, one in Cambridge, one in Oxford, are part of these this big study. The cohort in Cambridge is named EPIC Norfolk, and the original cohort was comprised of more than 25,000 participants. About half of them were men. The age range was about 40 to 80, and they firstly started the study in 1993. The first, it has been three big health checks, and the third one is actually ongoing now. The first health check that its data is now presented in this presentation comes back to 1993 to 1997. And all the participants are being followed up to now. For the this presentation, we considered follow-up up to March 2007, with mean follow-up of 11.3 years. Health endpoints, you can see a variety of endpoints was considered for this big study. Mortality and, of course, fractures were among them. And we used different methods to ascertain outcomes. For fractures, we used mainly hospital contacts and general practitioner records. You know, the National Health Service, or NHS in UK, they have very comprehensive, unique IDs for every patient, and we could actually follow all the participants of the study throughout UK via these unique IDs. These are the characteristics of study participants. You can see men and women had different characteristics in any respect. These are all known risk factors for osteoporotic fractures: age, height, weight, BMI, current smoking, history of fracture, and you see about 900 cases of fracture were developed during the 11.3 years of follow-up. So the difference between men and women just, we can say, justified the consideration of sex as a specific type of variable. And we used sex-specific or sex-stratified analysis for this study. The main outcome was time to fracture or time to event outcome. and we used multivariate Cox proportional hazard regression model. All models were adjusted for age, height, BMI, older known risk factors. And we compared sex-stratified and sex-specific models to address the effect of gender on fracture risk. And using these models, these Cox models, we estimated 10-year probability of fracture for any participant in the study. We used baseline survival function of the Cox model and just applied the 10-year, I can say, horizon of study, and we calculated 10-year probability for any participant. These are the findings. You see the 10-year absolute risks are classified for different age groups, and in the sex-stratified model, the 10-year absolute risk started from 1.2% for women in the age of 40 to 44 years, and it went up to 9.5%. For men, it started from 0.6%, and it went up to 4.4%. When we did the sex-specific, it's actually two different models, one for men, one for women. The women model, the 10-year probability of fracture for age 40 to 44 years started from 0.9% and went up to 11%. For men, it started from 1.1 and went up to 3.1% for 75 to 79 years. If you want to show it graphically, you see there is a divergence between sex-specific models comparing to sex-stratified models. And to show it, you can see if we just consider another important risk factor, history of fracture. You see, for instance, women without history of fracture, this is the sex-stratified model, where women without history of fracture were very similar in the absolute risk to men with history of fracture. But when we consider two different models, one for women and one for men, you see the divergence in mainly for the age of more than 65. And here, men were even with history of fracture were had very lower risk of fracture in the next 10 years. So this actually shows interaction or effect modification between sex and age. And we included this interaction term in our models, in our stratified model, and it was highly significant. The model with included interaction term also outperformed the basic model. This was confirmed with by lower AIC for the first model. This sort of presentation of the results, 10-year absolute risk, can have several applications for epidemiological studies, and one of them is just comparison between different populations. And here you see the comparison between epic Norfolk population and Swedish population. This is actually based on one of the most renowned papers in the field of osteoporosis. It comes from Malmo, Sweden, in 2001. They have used different mathematical approaches to calculate 10-year risk. Now we used very, I can say, easy performed statistical analysis to calculate. And you see, even women in the epic Norfolk population have a much less absolute risk of fracture compared to men in Swedish population. If we consider just relative risks are much similar between two populations, and we can't see any difference between populations in this regard. But if we want to consider absolute risk of fracture, there are big differences, huge differences between populations, and this actually needs to be addressed in different studies. The other application of this sort of analysis is a graphical presentation of risk measures within a population that can help us to achieve a better understanding of the disease burden in that particular population. And this is also of interest to health economists because they can consider other aspects of disease distribution for estimation of absolute risk, for estimation of appropriate thresholds for treatment. For instance, here we have presented the absolute risks percentiles versus 10-year probability of fracture. You see, for instance, in any given percentile of risk, women had more had higher 10-year probability of fracture comparing to men. And this sort of presentation can help us to, instead of asking this question, which is very usual, in what absolute risk should patients be treated, we can now ask what is the absolute risk to treat a certain fracture on a high-risk population. For instance, in this slide, if you want to consider just 5% of population to be treated, if this population would be women, it comes to women with more than about 10% fracture risk. But if it wants to be men, they need to be about 3% risk. So we see this sort of presentation can be just divided to for other important characteristics. For instance, those who have a history of fracture, those who are obese, those who are a smoker, and other stuff. And then we can consider exact absolute risk thresholds for different groups. So for interpretation of our results, the interaction observed between sex and age indicates that the studies aiming to quantify absolute risk of fracture in older men cannot generalize the results of the studies in women. This is actually the usual practice now in the field of osteoporosis. We, because the outcome is so rare in men, usually researchers just go for women, for female populations, and then try to generalize the result to men. But we showed that there is a sort of interaction between sex and age, and we can't just easily generalize from women studies to male populations. The other point is the considerable difference between the results of this study and the Swedish study points out to the need for population-specific data for calculation of absolute risk of fracture. We can't only rely on the results of other studies from other populations and then calculate the thresholds, risk thresholds for our population. The risk chart derived from this study can be used in three aspects. One for development of fracture risk assessment tools for the elderly population of the UK. Then for better understanding of the burden of osteoporosis in different populations, including UK. And help health economists to consider other aspects of disease distribution for estimation of appropriate risk thresholds in cost-effectiveness models. Thank you very much.
We have time for questions.
In the wake of your study, do you think that the estimates from Sweden are overestimates, or are those accurate estimates? And how would you account for?
Actually, can you go back to that
slide? What's the risk, perhaps the level of risk, to the Swedish population?
It's very hard to answer, actually. It can be overestimated in the Swedish population, and it can be underestimated in our population. I didn't go to the details, but I can say Norfolk population is not representative of the whole UK population. The amount of physical activity and general health is much higher in the Norfolk, and the study design was some sort of... we can say any sort of observational study can have some selection bias. So it might be some sort of healthy bias effect in our population. Also, there is a chance for being overestimated, for observing overestimated risk in Swedish population. But the point is, we can confirm that there is a big range of absolute risks in different populations. And Scandinavian countries, are mainly the highest. They have the highest rates of fracture in the whole world. Then it comes to mainly other European and North American countries. And then when we go, for instance, to Southeast Asian or African countries, the absolute risk is much lower. So there is between population differences, and of course there are some sort of chance for bias in our estimates also.
And what are the essential ideological hypotheses about why Northern American and European, Northern European countries would have such high levels of risk? Is it vitamin D from sun?
It can be, yes. There are several hypotheses. It can be because mainly for the Scandinavian countries, it can be vitamin D, the level of physical activity, obesity, smoking, and mainly the lifestyle, I can say. There are lots of other factors that we don't know, or maybe genetic, but there are some hypotheses in this regard.
Any other questions?
That's it.
Just a mental last question. How is the fracture ascertained? Was it a healthy part of the medical records? How was fracture ascertained?
It was ascertained by, I said here, any participant has a unique ID. We use linkage to, we didn't, I can say, follow them actively. We have hospital records and general practitioner records for any participant, and if they just go to a hospital or to their GP, we can just be informed. So we use those data to get information. This is the reason actually for one of the potential limitations of the study, because some of the fractures you just don't need to go to hospital, or they might be just not observed. For instance, vertebral fractures. Many people, they don't come to clinical vertebral fractures.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.